Welcome to More Than Words, a podcast about treating the whole child, brought to you by the Reading and Language Learning Center. I'm your host, Tristan, and today I'm joined by educational consultants Amy Mounts and Sherry Perry to discuss removing before and after school roadblocks for student success. Hi, Amy and Sherry. How are you guys?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Doing really well. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. We're excited for you guys to be here. So let's have you guys introduce yourself first thing. So tell us a little bit about who you guys are, what you do, the name of who you are as a collective.
So we are Sherry Perry and Amy Mounts, founders of Proactive Strategies and Solutions. We came together as educational advocates, realizing that there was a need to provide support outside of the school setting to facilitate meaningful change for families and their children and adolescents. And so Amy and I utilized our more than 30 years of experience as educators, moms, teachers of other teachers, and administrators, and decided to help families use data-driven strategies in order to facilitate meaningful academic, behavioral, and social emotional success.
That's awesome. I mean, very important work. And it sounds like you guys have done like anything and everything you can do in the education sphere, which is fabulous.
We have, although I will tell you, every day is a new day with a new challenge. And that's what we're here to help families with, problem solving when those new bumps in their day arise.
Yeah.
Because as Sherry said, kids are kids all day long and not just inside the 6.5 hours of school.
Right. Exactly. Well, that is awesome. Okay. So if people are going to find you guys online and in like physically in the world, where would they go?
Where does everyone go these days, right? They go to Google, they go to LinkedIn, they go to Facebook.
We have a website. So www.proactivestrategiesolutions.com.
Perfect.
And that has information about our services, about a little bit more about us. Talks about our schedule of appearances like this one.
Perfect.
And anything that's upcoming and how to reach us.
Okay, great. So then I will link your website in the show notes so people can find you guys and find all of your fun upcoming events and things.
Great.
Awesome. Well, let's hop into these questions, all of the things that we're chatting about today. So roadblocks for parents and kiddos. Before school, after school, what are they? What do they look like? What might parents be seeing?
So what parents are seeing is going to vary from child to child, and it's going to vary from day to day. You know, we talk with parents, as Sherry shared, we want to build that connection between what's occurring in the school day and also what's occurring outside of the school. So for some families, we're going to see some dysregulation and challenges with academics. Mm-hmm. So it may be come homework time and it may be not understanding the content or not being able to read something. It may be learning gaps. We know education has changed over the last few years and maybe our students haven't quite received the traditional instruction and education that we've seen in history. Some of our families, they're going to see dysregulation behaviorally. So trying to avoid a task, right? Not being able to find materials, not being able to complete that conversation and with family and caregivers. And then social emotionally, you know, our students may and our children may have difficulty with that emotional regulation, understanding what they're feeling and responding appropriately. They may be trying to avoid work or playtime or eating time. There are so many different areas of a student, and we know when our children get home before and after school, those roads collide.
Yeah.
And that's where we see that shock and that challenging time of trying to help our children th- through that time. And that's what Sherry and I are here for. We're here to talk about what does that look like for your family and then really dissect it so that we can use that data to come up with strategies that are feasible for families to react to these dysregulation and these challenges and to prevent them in the future.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine and remember when I was a kid, I'm like, I never wanted to do my homework. So, and I can see all of these, you know, different things that are happening in the home. But I guess the question is, why is it that students become dysregulated or they are avoiding those tasks? Like, why are they experiencing these roadblocks when they get home or before they go to school?
Yeah, it's interesting. So as we often say, as parents and as educators, the what is very rarely the question, right? So kids are, while they think that they are, they're not subtle. And so we as parents experience the what. And Amy just went over all of those things. So the next question is the why. Mm-hmm. And that's where the data comes in. And so Amy and I are self-identified data nerds. we embrace it. We have a little pin. There's a membership. So data drives decision making. And so it's a really good question that you ask. And it's not a one size fits all answer, because that is where our work comes in, is having a discussion with families, trying to figure out the why. And so, you know, oftentimes one of the things that Amy mentioned was the sort of the eruption of materials, you know, that when you open up the backpack.
Oh yeah.
And it's like Mary Poppins' purse, and you keep pulling things out and keep pulling things out. And it's like, oh, there's that homework that was due 3 weeks ago. And and why did that end up there? Or that permission slip for the field trip that day and didn't get handed in. And so it becomes about analyzing the data. Is it just the backpack? Is it also the room? Right. Is it also trying to just even get out the door? And every day, it's not that the child doesn't want to go to school. It's just the process of getting ready.
Right.
Is it that they are spending so much energy at school, keeping themselves together, that home is the safe place where they can let it all go? Mm. It's about asking the questions, Amy and I ask the questions, putting the pieces of the puzzle together, and then trying to figure out the why.
Right.
And so hypothesizing what might be behind it.
Right. That is interesting. I mean, the accordion of the backpack, right? Like all of the spring-loaded homework that just projectiles out of a backpack at the end of a day. I can see it now. But like, if a parent asks the question of, hey, like, what's going on here, buddy? Like, why don't you have something in a folder? Is there an answer? Is it more emotional? Like, what happens when the parents try to get to the root of that? And like, what do their kiddos say?
So there is an answer, absolutely. Okay. But what Sherry and I help do is we try to go past that initial response that a child may have, which may be, you know, crying and screaming of, I don't know, I can't do this, I'm stupid. Right. Someone took it from me.
Yeah.
What we're here to do is go past that initial response and really dig to the why and then the how to help that child, because that initial emotional response is usually, while it's a child's perception, and absolutely we're not dismissing it, but there's usually another reason behind that we can help go through and really just decipher what is the real answer. And oftentimes it's multiple answers,
right?
And so then going through that data collection process to determine what are the reasons why, you know, and then how do we make change?
Right. So I kind of asked the, how can parents get to the root of the roadblocks, right? So I want to go through a couple like different example scenarios and like, you know, questions that parents might ask you and see what, how we can help people here. So the first one I've got for you, how do I help my child when they say they don't understand the homework or what was taught in school?
Oh, we're both smiling. I know you can't see us, but we're both smiling because we have heard it so many times.
So many times.
From our clients. We've heard it so many times for our own children. You know, when we hear that, we say we need to take a step back and not just jump in and try to convince a child otherwise.
Right.
That they know or we can find it.
Yeah.
It's really being able to take that step back and start figuring out the pieces. And it's not going to happen in one day. And that's why Sherry and I are here. And that's why part of what we do is continued communication and data collection with the families, because it's not, listen, if it were, and you know, you ask the question, you have the answer, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
No.
Right. And a lot of us would not have the gray hair that we have. So, you know, the way we help, you know, I wish I could just say it's a 1-2-3 formula.
Right.
It's not. We have a formula on how we ask the questions and collect the data to figure out the, you know, what's going on in school, what's the feedback from school, let's look at the data, and then what's the, you know, also looking at the environment, the conditions, because we want to set our students up for success. As I said, we can't just jump in and try to fix that problem. We've got to build the foundation.
Right. So if you come home and your kiddo says they don't understand the homework, what do you think the first thing you would do instead of having the reaction of, yeah, I'm sure you know it. Like, what is the first thing you say, step back and then do X, Y, or Z?
I think it's important. Again, it comes back to the why, right?
Yeah.
And so the first question to ask is, are we talking about a gap in the learning?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we talking about somebody who maybe just wasn't paying attention?
Okay.
And so there's a disconnect in the way that they're receiving the information.
Right.
And so part of the work that Amy and I do is looking to see patterns,
mm-hmm.
right? And so there has to be a homeschool communication system,
right?
Because we need to get the information. What are the teachers seeing? What informal data do we have? Formal data that do we have that measures the student's learning?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an immediate answer. It's an opportunity to get that information.
Right.
And so if we're talking about a student who is more has more executive functioning needs, which is very common these days,
yes,
then it's about establishing the right kind of system. And then,
right.
So the work, it starts at home and then translates to school.
Right.
And so it's understanding, what are the issues? Is it where the student's sitting? Is it the way that they left home? Is it the way that they're approaching their work? Is it they need modified versions of or ways that they can demonstrate what they've learned? And so these are the questions that we ask, but it all starts with information and it all starts with communication. And so we help the families identify the right questions to ask to get the right data and then start practicing those strategies at home.
Yeah, that's awesome. So if we talked about the backpack earlier, which was, you know, the spring loaded kind of accordion,
right? Mary Poppins,
Mary Poppins bag. So what happens when your kid comes home with incomplete assignments and all their materials are unorganized? Where do you start your data collection? I mean, that's, I'm sure some data there, but what do you do after that?
So it goes back to what Sherry was just saying, where we're asking the questions and having that communication with the school and with the family to figure out where that disconnect is. Where is that breakdown? Because what we can't do is just sit down with our students and start to teach them, because mm-hmm. then we might be, you know, providing approaches and information that isn't necessary, because as Sherry said, is it executive functioning, right? Not paying attention, but understanding the content if it's shown to you. So then we're going to talk about reteaching or getting strategies to carry over that information, or, you know, what strategies students should use to look in their notes if there are notes, which is a whole nother discussion that we won't go into right now. That's a whole nother backpack. I mean, the other thing is then if it's emotional, right, then it's a different approach of how we're going to sit down and talk with the student. And then if it's a learning gap, that's a whole nother different set of approaches to give the student the information and help them go through the content to do the homework. And then to go down a different road, which often happens, is it's more than one reason why. So then we're making that plan of how do we start to eliminate some of the roadblocks so that we really can reach the student after school. And that's really what we're targeting. This isn't something where you implement something on Monday and by Thursday, for the most part, okay, we're good. We're ready for next week's work. Right. It goes back. Yeah. Wish it were that simple. Right. Yeah, but it goes back. I know. But it goes back to collecting that data because, you know, for our students where there is more than one why, we've got to work through more than one how and more than one set of strategies to implement.
Yeah. And we talked about executive function. So this, to me, it sounds like a parent question of a kid with executive function issues, or, you know, they're working through it. So even with constant reminders, my child cannot complete their morning or afternoon routines. Why is that? And how can I better assist them?
Yeah. You know, the ultimate question, because that has significant impact and it's the battle, right? And it's the battle in the morning and everyone is all stressed out and that's how the day gets started. And then you're gritting your teeth because what's the battle then going to be in the afternoon? And so it's important to first identify where the skill deficits are.
Okay.
And then identify what are the target behaviors? So when you are looking at strategies, for example, one strategy is establishing morning routines that are self-monitored because it's empowering the child to know that they can, but to do so in meaningful ways. And so I think we're often inclined to say, stop getting on your screen, stop doing this, stop fussing with your sister, stop doing this. And so instead, the science behind behavior replacement strategies is you identify target behaviors that what the student will do.
Okay.
And trying to identify what are they getting by doing these other things. So typically somebody's either seeking something or avoiding something.
Right.
And so it goes back to the why. So we know the what.
Yeah.
Right. We've collected the data as to the why. And now we go to the how. And so, for example, if one of the things the student's doing is constantly on their screen or is, you know, watching television or just sort of wandering around, identifying the things that they should be doing that make them feel like they are working towards, there's probably avoiding not doing something. And so how do we then give them a chore or something to accomplish that makes them feel good about themselves,
right?
So listen, mom's so busy in the morning. I just can't manage. You know how mom keeps forgetting to empty the dishwasher. I could really use your help in the morning. That would be so helpful. And every time we do it, we're going to mark it down because we got to make sure we show everybody what a good job you did.
Yeah.
And so it's empowering them to get something accomplished as they go out. Like I noticed when I go to work, if my backpack is messy, it makes me feel, will you help me organize my backpack? Okay, great. So now could we do the same for yours? And so now we're going to do this for each other. And so it's finding ways to make these chores, giving them what they need, still getting stuff done, but it's teaching them that real life skill. And so then you come up with a chart. And so that sort of bleeds into the strategy, for example. And so you come up with a chart and then you come up with ways, we call them gotchas, right?
Okay.
And so every time they do it, gotcha, I gotcha emptying the dishwasher, I gotcha filling out your backpack. And then it's around the tangible rewards.
Okay.
Right. So what might that look like? So for example, and depending on the age. And so a lot of times those intrinsic rewards can be an extra book time with mom, or you get to pick out what we're having for dessert that day, or you're in charge of snack. And so it doesn't have to be, we're going to the store to buy you something. It becomes a self-fulfilling positive reinforcement that is then continues to give them what they need, but in a more pro-social way.
That is a very fun way to think about it. I really enjoy the aspect of, can you help me with this thing that I know you are having a hard time with, but it's kind of like taking them out of the equation and allowing them to assist. They're like, oh, mom needs my help. Like, I'm the expert here. I'm going to get to help you with your thing. And then when they go to do the same exact thing for themselves, it makes it 1,000 times easier. They already did it once.
Right.
That's right. And we didn't call attention to something that they couldn't do because we're saying, oh, I need help with this. So it serves multiple purposes because we're empowering them, right, by helping us and helping themselves because ultimately, oh, I can relate. Mom can't figure out where on Canvas or whatever online system that announcement is for my teacher. Oh, I know. I can never find my math homework. So you also make this connection with your child, and it's a positive thing, right?
Right.
Because we're shifting it instead of I can't do, I don't know where. We're shifting it to I can do.
Right. That's awesome. I really love that strategy. I think it's something people will walk away with thinking, oh my gosh, I never thought about that. Like, I'm the parent. I have to know everything.
Right. And it's hard. I mean, you know, look, we've all been there. You know, my youngest cried every single day for the first month of kindergarten when I dropped her off, and which was heartbreaking. And so listen, trying to figure out strategies, that way to make it work. And, you know, when I would hear at the end of the day, no, she had a great day. Right. Meanwhile, my heart's breaking all day. And so getting her that morning routine was brutal every single day. And so trying to figure out how to shift the thinking to a positive, and it doesn't work right the first time. And it took me a month to figure out what were those steps that we needed to take so that she and I both could transition our morning to being one that was positive and successful. And so it's not a one size fits all by any means. Right. And it's understanding your family situation. It's understanding your challenges, and which is even more complicated now post COVID, with everyone's demands and re-engagement and what were those skills that were lost? And how do we utilize that homeschool relationship to facilitate the change in a positive way?
Yeah. And you mentioned the morning meltdowns that your kindergartner, well, used to be kindergartner, had.
Yes.
So do you have any tips for, even if it's not a kindergartner, someone who's been going to school for a while, but they're having a meltdown in the morning, right? And maybe you have gotten to the why, or like maybe you haven't gotten to the why yet. Like, do you have any tips for what parents can do to help their kiddos?
I mean, I think the initial thing is not to push, right? Because the initial response as a parent in that elevated moment is just, we just got to get in the car and we got to go, right?
Right.
So I think it's validating the feelings and the emotions and being very upfront of, I hear you, you're upset or you feel this. I don't know that I have a solution today, but I hear your problem and I want to work with you through it.
Right.
I always say it's an individual's perception, and whether it's right or wrong, we need to acknowledge it and then work through it. And so I think, you know, it's going back to the road analogies, but it's the uphill battle, right? There's no need to fight that uphill battle. We're not going to solve the why and the how in that moment.
Right.
So it's diffusing the situation until we can work through and come up with the how using that data approach.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to literally say the exact same thing, because their perception is their reality.
Right.
Yeah. And so if your child or adolescent is perceiving that there is something about that morning routine or getting ready for school that is going to cause them anxiety, and it's not a one-off, it's not I didn't get a good night's sleep, or I have that test that's stressing me out. If this is a pattern of behavior,
right,
it's acknowledging that it's okay to feel that way, right? Outside of the moment, because in the moment is not the time to be having these philosophical conversations, right? Because that is not going to end well. And we have all been there. Right. That is I hear you, but right now I got to get this one and the dog's in the back seat because they had the vet appointment and I've got a meeting and it's stressful and it's just, okay, sorry, school staff. I'm sending my emotionally dysregulated child. Good luck. It's later that afternoon and having that conversation, and I see how you're feeling. And it's important to me that you know that I hear you, I see you, and we need to problem solve this out together. So what about this is making you feel anxious? And of course you're going to get, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. So then that's where the work becomes, it becomes in digging and, was there a test, or is it homework, or is it, quite frankly, a lot of times, are they on technology and not getting enough rest, which happens, especially with our adolescents.
Right.
And so it's about knowing how to ask the right questions.
Yeah. And you mentioned perfectly homework, and that in and of itself has its own meltdowns. And it might not be at the beginning of the day. Maybe it's at the end of the day, the homework comes home and you say, all right, let's sit down on the kitchen table together and we'll get that started. And immediately there's tears, there's stress, there's, I don't want to do it, there's walking away. How do you start to problem solve that?
So it's interesting. I'll tell you, look, I think life is complicated these days. And it's easy enough to say, well, you should have a system. But, you've got jobs and activities and obligations. Right. But I will say that having a routine is actually probably one of the best de-stressors that you can do.
Yeah.
And it's about figuring out what that routine is for your family and front-loading that. So having something that's predictable. Because when you are left to stress about time, it's just stress breeds stress and feelings of anxiety. And so I think that one of the things that personally I did as a mom is the night before, like maybe right after dinner, to say, all right, let's talk about what tomorrow afternoon is going to look like.
Okay.
Because you have dance and you've got soccer and I have a meeting or dad's working late or whomever. And to say, okay, I just really want to go over this really fast. We're not going to have a lot of time right before dance.
Right.
So it's going to look like this, and then we're going to have a snack, and then it's going to look like this. Not to regiment lives, but predictability brings the temperature down.
Right.
I think it's not only that, it opens up that discussion of the why.
Mm-hmm.
I was guilty of it this morning. I did not share the change in schedule that we would not be leaving at a certain time to get to safety patrol duty on time.
Oh, no.
Because I had a meeting.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think the predictability would that helps, but then I didn't have that discussion last night or even this morning, because I was the guilty one of running around, right? Trying to get everything in.
Right.
And then after the fact, I could explain why I couldn't leave at the time we normally leave. And then we had a rational conversation. But in the moment, it was not rational because I didn't take the time to explain why the routine was different.
Right.
Because
right.
we were following our routine.
Yeah, the homework routine is an interesting one. And I really appreciate letting your kiddos in on the scheduling, because it's not that you're giving them like, all right, you plan tomorrow. It's the ability to say, hey, here's the transparency. This is what the day looks like. You're a part of the day because you always are. You always will be. And so this is where mom, dad, whoever, brother, sister, auntie, uncle fits into the day.
Right.
And I think, like you said, the predictability, like I can see that easing a kid anxieties so quickly, but it's just funny. You think, well, they'll just go along with whatever I'm doing or whatever we say.
Exactly.
But they have, you know, they have an emotional and what's the word I'm looking for?
Like a visceral response to it.
Right. And they have, you know, they have skin in the game, right? Like they have a part that they play, and they know that even if they're not thinking about it immediately, right? If it's not like a tangible thing for them, they're like, wait, what about my soccer practice or whatever? My orange slices afterwards.
You know, I will tell you, I know we're in the age of technology, but I'm a big believer in a planner.
Yeah.
I really am. And you know, we, my poor children, you know, when you have a mother who's a special educator, but, you know, we would come home and the first words out of my mouth were, let's get your planner out and let's talk about our afternoon. And so we would, you know, as we were having snack, we would take our turns and we would go over what that looks like. And I appreciate that that's not possible every day. And I'm certainly not painting a picture that we just came home every day and it was rainbows and peace and everyone was so engaged, but, that was our backbone.
Right.
And, you know, we were able to check off. And so, for example, if we knew on Wednesday that Thursday afternoon was just going to be a day, I would sit down with my kids and write their teachers' emails.
Okay.
Ahead of time, and to say, so I want you to see what I'm doing, girls. We're writing your teachers to say to them, we know our tomorrow afternoon is going to be so bad. And so is there a way that we could think ahead about homework and ways to maybe modify? And so, you know, predictability and schedules and having systems in place, makes a difference. And no matter what it looks like, it makes a big difference. It's funny. My oldest is now living on her own in a different city and is now helping out other families with their children. And about That's a year sweet. Or so ago said to me, remember when we used to do that stuff after school and we would do like the arts and crafts things? I'm like, yeah. She's like, did you have us decorating our own behavior charts for what we would do after school? I'm like, yes, I did. So,
amazing.
This is, not just talking the talk, but but we walk the walk as well and figuring out what those strategies are for ourselves and our families.
So I have to tell you, as you were talking, I just had a childhood memory and it just clicked to me what my Nana was doing. We'd walk into the house and she would say, let's get organized. All the grandkids would make fun of her. Let's get organized. I now realize she was doing just that. Like, let's talk about what we need to do. And I think, you know, part of this is it sounds so clear and straightforward. And I want to say I'd love it to be, but part of it is going back to that why and that how and figuring out how to provide the differentiated levels of support to go through that process. Because for our students with executive function, they're not going to be able to, if we say, well, you go from school to swim practice to your brother's soccer practice and your sister's, you know, baseball practice. So it's figuring out how do we help our students. The end goal is often the same, but the supports that we provide, even our different children under the same roof, is going to vary depending on the profiles.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this is kind of bouncing off what you just said. If you have a kiddo with some executive function challenges, would it be stressful? I mean, I'm sure it depends on the kid, but is it generally stressful for them to hear about everyone else's day? Like, would you rather just say, like, these are the things for, like, on your docket for the day, like, just the things they need to be a part of, and then just leave the rest of it up to, like, you're going to follow along? Or is it better to give them more structure? That's kind of a loaded question.
Well, and it's a great question. I don't think there's a one answer for everyone, right?
Yeah.
It's part of it is it's a data collection of, if I give too much, what's the point of too much, where we see that shutdown?
Right.
And then what's the point of that's enough? Because, oh, wait, my brother had a really hard time with his science test last week.
Right.
So it's trying to find that balance, but there is a balance, especially when you're working, and interacting with more than one child, or trying to help caregivers where you have, co-ops after school working together.
Right.
Of differentiating that level.
Right. And the work might be in the beginning, is because, we love our little kiddos. We're like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Hey, I was that kid. There's nothing wrong with that kid.
No, future there
data,
isn't.
Future data nerd. So, yeah. And so I think perhaps in the beginning, having that conversation of the why, and then getting the buy-in.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. I can just, like, imagine my nieces and nephews now just being like, why? Why?
Exactly. Why?
But why? Asking all the questions.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I love it. Well, I think that was my last question for you. But is there anything else you guys wanted to add before we wrapped up?
I think it's okay to acknowledge the disconnect. And, and there's some acceptance to not knowing. Mm-hmm. And so to reaching out to people like us who can help you formulate the questions and then, try to come up with some answers, and that, it's not an immediate fix. It is work, and it is a process, and children change. And so what might work this year doesn't work next year, but understanding the foundation of using the data to answer the questions and then to come up with the strategies is a skill that we leave families with that will help help them apply it as their children do grow and change.
Yeah, that's awesome. Amy, any last things?
Oh, how do I follow that? I'll just add on, it is a process, but it's achievable. It is definitely achievable, and take comfort in knowing, anyone that's listening, others are listening, you're not alone in experiencing whatever you're experiencing before school, maybe frantic emails in the middle of the day from school, and what you're experiencing at home. You can make a difference, and the emotional, backpack coming apart or emotions. There's a reason why.
Yeah.
And we can work through that reason why and come up with a plan so that everyone's having a better morning and a better afternoon. Without a doubt, it'll take work, but it is possible.
Well, this has been absolutely fabulous. Thank you guys both for all of your thoughts and all of your tips, tricks, and helpful insights. You guys have, like you said, you've been doing this for a while, so it's really helpful to have someone who understands the how, why, and everything to be here and chat with everyone. So thank you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Of course. Thank you so much to the audience for listening. Make sure to subscribe and leave us a little rating and review. It helps other folks find the podcast, and we'll chat with you next time.